All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
You're listening to Oilers Nation Radio, a member of the Nation Network of Podcasts and delivered by DoorDash. 1 hour of straight hockey talk with Dan, Rick, Tyler, and Bag Milk starts now.
Welcome, everybody. Oilers Nation Radio, episode 178. The intro is incorrect, though. Only Dan and I are here, along with Liam and Jay, subbing in for Tyler and Rick. Tyler is down in Vegas at the All-Star Weekend, and we're going to get to him in a second because he's having himself a time down there. But first, I want to shout out our friends at Oodle Noodle, as we do every week. We're going to start off with a delicious debate this week. Not so much a debate, more of a conversation. I want to know everybody's first impressions on Evander Kane. Made his debut last weekend against Montreal, got a goal. He's actually got two goals. I don't know. How many points does he have now? Three?
Three and three, two and one.
So we're going to start off first impressions of Evander Kane. Mr. Nation Dan, I'm going to start with you.
Well, I mean, he's been everything you could hope for, really, from a guy that's been off for a while, been out of the NHL, for an extended period of time. Get first real chance on the ice, and he goes and scores a goal. It's been everything on the ice you've wanted it to be, and then off the ice. You know, he's addressed some things in an interview and done, you know, at least tried to give himself a fresh start and a clean slate here to begin with that stuff. So, you know, it hasn't been disappointing for me, that's for sure.
Jay?
Yeah, like, we're just isolating this to Evander Kane, the hockey player.
Yeah, I mean, like, we went over this countless times on this podcast, real life, whatever. So he's an Oiler now. Yeah. We can't change it.
Yeah, so Evander Kane, the Oiler. We can't argue against 3 points in three games. He broke our hex of not being scored on first in Montreal.
He did.
Which was very, very appreciated.
For
the bank account. I also bet him over 1.5 against Washington, and he hit that for me. So financially, this has been great for me. But you know, he's as promised, right, in terms of the hockey player that he is. Like, he's come in, he's contributing already, and he's still got a long way to go. Like, he's not a game speed yet, but like, he's just got that much skill. The physicality after Connor for some reason decided to walk in front of a semi like he did, but to go after the guy, like, this is like the team toughness that we need. But also, you know, he's making an effort. There's one of the clips leading into the commercial just showing him like patting all the guys coming off the ice, and he was on the bench, so like immersing himself into the team there. So hopefully, you know, being adding some positivity there. So yeah, like, isolated to hockey, like, hell yeah, like it's going good. And I think you know, he's only going to get better. Not to say he's going to be 2 points a game, but like, he's going to be more of a visible factor night in, night out.
Yeah, I think you're right because he just got started. He's had a long layoff. Everybody knows it. So it's going to take some time to get his timing back, his legs underneath him. Liam, what do you think?
Yeah, I think I agree with what Dan and Jay both said. Like, as a player, he's played well for us. He's one easy game, I guess, against Montreal, and then tough one against Ottawa, and then Washington was it was. It was lucky he didn't get injured.
I was shocked that he came back for the third period.
I thought that was I thought that was shoulder separation all day.
I thought he was legit an Edmonton Oiler, and he just got his shoulder knocked out on night three because that was just a hit right at the end of the second period. I was like, oh no, come on! But then there he was for the third.
Yeah,
and maybe that just kind of shows what he's trying to be now, where he's trying to be there for his team. It's like you said, he was patting people on the back and stuff. Maybe he just wants to show. Or maybe he just wasn't hurt, quite frankly.
That definitely stung. Obviously, it wasn't a shoulder separation, but like, oh, you could just see the pain. Like, and he was in visible pain.
Yeah.
And the fact he came back,
And I was just going to say, too, like, he also has a little bit of an all-star break, too. So I think there might be a chance that he is banged up and he's feeling it still.
To give the old.
He did just go out and gut it out.
The old painkiller on that one for the intermission.
Maybe it was a part two. He's just trying to prove to his teammates he's a new guy. Coming back is I'm here for you guys. Yeah. Like, I want to be a team player. And probably knew, like Dan said, the all-star break is coming up. So he could suck it up for maybe a period. So.
Yeah, 100%. Assisted on the insurance goal. So thank you. Plus 1.5.
My overall first impressions are good. And it looks like he's trying to be better.
To wrap it up, on the ice, he's what we wanted.
It's what we desperately needed.
He's a big guy. He's playing alongside Connor. Like Jay said, Connor got absolutely blown. I don't know if I've ever seen him get hit like that before.
And he put himself in that position. Hathaway is just like, what? He's good. Like, Hathaway has to go and steamroll him like he did. Because he was also shocked. Like, he was shocked that all of a sudden McDavid's just there on an absolute tee to blow up.
Mm-hmm.
It was mind-blowing. Like, Connor had a brain fart there because I'm like, you see it because I'm like, you saw the hit and I'm like, and then I saw it was Connor and I was just shocked.
Yeah.
He never puts himself in trouble.
No, I've never seen him. This is 7 years of him. I've never seen him get blown up like that.
That was interesting.
But
he survived, man, if he was hurt.
Shout out to Yamamoto for chucking some sticks in there. That's what we're talking about, getting greasy.
Yeah.
And then Evander Kane stepped in there as well.
Yep.
That's what you want to see.
Yeah, and then Cassian later in the game kind of got into it with him. So it's good. Like, I think the other thing about Kane is that, like, Cassian, like he's not one to go lead that stuff. He's one to kind of, like, react to it. Yep. So, you know, to have that happen and then have the two other players on the team get in, like, that probably is what unlocks that flips that switch for him. So, you know, we got to see some physicality from him, which is important because Washington's a big team and they played us tough that game. So very good to get the W and be able to, like, at least keep up and hold ourselves in the physical side up against them.
If you have thoughts on Evander Kane's first, we're recording this on Friday, it's February 4th. Your thoughts on his first three games with the Oilers? Big win against Montreal, disappointing loss against Ottawa, win against Washington. But let us know, Owen Radio Podcast on Twitter and Instagram. I want to know your thoughts. So everybody here, passing grade so far, it's what you want.
Yeah.
It's what you want.
It's what we need.
That was the delicious debate for our friends at Oodle Noodle. Jay, what's the latest with Oodle Noodle? New locations in Aaron Ridge, Airdrie, Kingsway. One coming in Fort Saskatchewan.
Fort Saskatchewan's actually happening. I know everyone thinks I'm a big fat liar because I've been talking about this for 18 months, but I believe I can almost throw out a date, I think. I think we're doing our soft opening March 5th. So expect 3 days after that, us to be going full bore there and then having our grand opening weekend the weekend after that. So it's actually happening. Can't wait. We are coming, Fort Saskatchewan.
And if you are looking for something to eat this weekend, Oodle Noodle's got a location near you. But if you don't want to leave your house, our friend at DoorDash got you. Ding dong.
Ding dong.
Get yourself some foods. Friday, you don't want to cook. You've worked enough for this week. Right? Right. Good? Good. All right. Last weekend, we're just going to recap this really quick because there was only two of us there. But Jay and I went down to Jasper for the pond hockey tournament that they held at the Jasper Park Lodge in partnership with Tourism Edmonton. Tourism Jasper. It was just a hell of a weekend. First of all, you show up, the setting is beautiful, the weather was perfect, the organizers did such a great job, the staff was incredible. All in all, Jay, it was just a great weekend.
You know, first of all, anytime you go to the mountains, it's great. And then anytime we go to the mountains to play pond hockey is amazing. And anytime we go to the mountains to play pond hockey and it's like -5 and you're at the JPL and, you know, you're enjoying a few red wines, ask Tyler, and a few nation beers amongst other things. It just, it, all roads lead to a great time. So yeah, organizers did a great job putting on that event. We had a lot of had an absolute blast with the couple activations that we were involved with, which was the hot stove with the on the bench guys, and the view and the watch party for the Montreal game. And then shout out to the on the bench guys for, you know,
they were such a good time.
You see them, yeah. They're actually like genuinely like just good dudes. Like they went around like any. They're so approachable. Like it was. They're just like good dudes. And so that was like I didn't know what to expect, but so that was a nice surprise.
I had the most fun with the on the bench guys on Friday night when we got there. We ended up going to Pyramid Lake late. It was about 10 o'clock, and we were playing some pond hockey. It was pitch black. They had floodlights out on the ice, so you could barely see shit. But like we were doing our best anyway. So the on the bench guys were there with us, and we were just having conversations about just like business, how things are going, and you're having this chat with them, but then it's your turn to jump on the ice and they flip back into character and they're yelling all kinds of outrageous shit at you as you're trying to play. It was the absolute best. Those guys were beauties. The hot stove with Caroline, they had the whole room roaring laughing. So all in all, a great event. The point I want to get to here is thank you to everybody at the JPL, Tourism Jasper, the organizers of the tournament, the grounds team that put it all together. The vibes were excellent. And I just can't wait to go back. Next year's gonna be excellent.
Yeah, we're blowing this thing up, I think. Tourism Jasper is getting behind the events, and they want to work with us and find a way to really, really, really make this a tentpole event for them in January. And now that we've gotten a taste and got an understanding of it and know what all the potential is, this is a no-brainer for people to come and play. And it's the hockey, yes, is a big part of it, but everything outside of it and just the camaraderie and the community stuff, like it's 10 out of 10.
Getting back to the Oilers, we have now passed the halfway point of the regular season. Game 42 got played just before the All-Star break. So with that in mind, we're going to check in on some first half report cards. It can be about the Oilers, or in Liam's case, he does the prospect updates for us at OilersNation.com. He can talk about what's going on down in Bakersfield. Whatever you want, Liam. I don't care. Dan, I'm going to start with you. If you're thinking about the first half of the NHL season, what sticks out to you when you think about it as a high and a low?
Well, I mean, I take the easy one off the board when it comes to a high. When I look at a guy like Leon Draisaitl and what he's been able to do with this team, you know, just consistently our goal scoring machine now, and doing it without Connor McDavid, quote unquote, as a lot of people like to point out with him over the past few seasons.
It is interesting. Sorry, before you go on, Dan, it is interesting that people still think that Leon only produces because he plays with Connor, which he really hasn't all that much this year. It's very silly.
And it was a conversation we had at the start of the season where we were talking about how many games do we see Leon and Connor together? And you're right, Bag Milk. Like it's been very rare, and it's only really been in situations when we're playing from behind, which was that stretch of 12 games there in December. But for me, the low point also comes from that stretch of 12 games, but it's just been the goaltending. I think we all had question marks coming into the season about the decision to go back to this tandem, and you know, full credit to Koskinen for the last 4 or 5 games. He's been a reason that we've been able to get the points that we have. But overall, it's just not consistent enough for this team to be able to comfortably say that they're competing for the Western Conference Final, let alone the Stanley Cup. So for me, the low grade and the upsetting grade is goaltending.
Liam, what do you think? First half, Oilers, Condors, whatever you're thinking.
I'll do an Oilers one, I'll do a Condors one.
Excellent.
Quickly. I think Ryan McLeod has been a massive bright spot for this team. The last 20 games or so, I guess, since Tippett actually started playing him in a real role. And I think when he scored against New Jersey, maybe that's when it kind of started for him. Definitely in that poor stretch for the Oilers, he was one of the bright spots.
Yeah.
So that would be my Oilers one. And I think outside of the Oilers, I think just the prospects that they've been able to acquire, like Petrov, Tulio, Savoy, Borgo. All those guys are like shooting at like a 2 point per game rate in their leagues. Like Savoy, maybe not so much because he don't play as much in the NCAA, but a lot of bright spots like coming through to the Oilers, which is also maybe a couple of trade assets for Holland to use if he ever decides to make any kind of significant trade, which probably will never, ever happen for the Edmonton Oilers. So, and then for a low, this one really doesn't work as well now because I play him well. But when they were doing terrible, like, why did Cooper Marody never get a shot with this team? Like, he has like 70 goals in three seasons with the Condors, and he's played seven games with the Oilers. And he's never probably played more than 10 minutes a night. So why don't you bring up the best player in your farm team instead of bringing up, like, Seth Griffith every time? And no disrespect to him, because when he came up, he actually played well. But that would be my low. And I'll go with Dan as well and say goaltending, because it's an easy way out.
Just since Liam brought it up, Cooper Marody's played seven total NHL games. So it's not like he's got a big chance to show what he can do at all.
And won this season.
Yeah, and so. I think that his minutes in that one, if I remember correctly, was like 3.5 or something.
And he got a point.
And he got a point, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and meanwhile, Kyle Turris has just been stapled to that bottom six this whole year. So, yeah, amen on that one, Liam.
Tippett's a guy that loves his vets, isn't it? And this is just one of those situations where maybe some of the young guys do deserve a chance, like Liam said.
And it's even like, sorry to keep going, but when Samarukov came up, he played 3 minutes. Yeah, he made two terrible mistakes which led to goals, but like, it doesn't help. And he did the same thing to Bear when in the playoffs. Like, these young guys make a mistake, and he's like, oh, well, you're done. It's like you're a kid, and you just have to go sit on an oldie step for hours until dad tells you you can move again. Like, well, so it just doesn't help.
Even in the here and now against Washington the other day, Tyson Barrie's back for his first game after being injured. Bouchard pulled right off the power play.
There you go.
It's one of those things that I don't necessarily understand. First half, highs and lows, Jay.
Well, Dan had made comments about Draisaitl being awesome, and that's a big positive for us without McDavid. And the narrative of Draisaitl not being able to perform without McDavid, but I think the question is, can McDavid perform without Draisaitl?
Ooh.
How dare you?
That's and I just say that jokingly.
Oh, that's cold.
Yeah, I say that jokingly, but it's funny that they will still hold on to that narrative despite Connor not being, you know, crazy peak performance. Oh, we got a pop in over Hello. Here.
We got a little pop in here from somebody down in Las Vegas. Tyler Yaremchuk checking in from Vegas. Where are you? What hotel are you at?
Park MGM. But you want to hear a good story?
Of course.
So my travel day was a shit show. So layover in Vancouver for a few hours, land in Vegas. I got my headphones in. I'm listening to music. I'm not listening to anything else that's going along. So I just kind of wander around, get on the tram to go to your baggage. And I get to the baggage area. I'm like, where the hell is my flight? Like, I'm not finding it anywhere. So I wander around for like 25 minutes. Eventually I go up to someone. I'm like, is there another baggage terminal? And the guy's like, yeah, but it's like a shuttle ride away. And the shuttle only comes every like 15 or 20 minutes. So I got to like go out to the street, catch a 10-minute shuttle to the other baggage area in Vegas. And I had missed the carousel because it had taken me so long to get there. It took me like an hour to figure all this out. So I had to like go to the Air Canada office and ask them for my bags because I lost them. And then I finally call an Uber, and it takes me about 25 minutes to figure out where the Uber is at this airport. I like went to the area that was very clearly marked like Uber and Lyft pickups. But then my guy just went to a different area. He's like, oh, that place is too busy. You got to meet me here. So I'm like carrying my 45-pound bag of podcast and camera equipment up like stairs and stuff. Finally get there. He's like, where are you going? I'm like, I'm going to MGM. So we go to MGM. I do the mobile check-in. So I got like my digital key and all that on my phone. And I go to the elevator and my digital key's not working to get me up the elevator. So I'm like, what the hell is going on? So I go to the concierge desk and I'm like, can I get a physical key? Because this digital one doesn't work. And she's like, what room are you in? She can't find it. Can't find it. She goes, you're not even at this hotel. This is the MGM Grand. You're at Park MGM.
Oh my God.
Oh no, Tyler.
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 Who let There's Tyler so go many.
You need an essential person around you to guide you around. Adult. Jeez, you missed on every
I'm
mark.
I have to sign up as your assistant.
Every mark. Well, and also to elaborate on missing the mark. You went to Taco Bell Cantina at like 11 a.m. That is like that's a nighttime move.
Did you even get a mark?
No, I'm drinking the biggest Baja Blast.
Yeah, so then you didn't go to the cantina. You just went to Taco Bell.
Yeah.
Oh, whatever. Still counts. The music was
what
very loud.
What is the artwork on your wall, Tyler?
It's just a lady standing there.
Anyway. I was trying to. Yeah, this is amazing.
Tyler, before you jumped on, we were looking at the Oilers. We just passed the halfway mark of the season as we landed here at the All-Star break. Looking at some highs and lows. So if you're thinking about the highs and lows from the first half of the NHL season pertaining to the Oilers, what do you got?
The high singular moment for me is the comeback win over the Rangers. Like, we were feeling so good. Oh, it was, man, a weekend game. Jeez. It was basically a sellout in Rogers. The crowd was bumping the McDavid goal, the Draisaitl like chirping the Rangers, telling them it's coming. Their confidence was at an all-time high. I think our belief as a fan base in the team was at an all-time high. So that Rangers game is without a doubt the high for me. The low, probably that game they lost to the Senators, right? The one where they blew the third period lead, and it was kind of like, you know, they went into that third period and you're thinking, okay, they're beating the wheels out of Ottawa so far. This should be the turnaround point, mm-hmm. right? And then it just totally fell off. It was just horrendous. So that's probably my two high and lows.
Just to wrap it up, I think my lows for the season, I'm just going to take the obvious one. The first goals against, I've never seen anything like it. And they did 11 straight games at one point where they gave up the first goal, and they had some wins towards the tail end of that run. But what is that?
Yeah, it's comical, but it was a massive, massive problem.
And for my high, I just want to give a shout out to Zach Hyman. It's his first year here in the city, and he's everything kind of we wanted from him. He's got an engine that won't quit. I'm thinking about the hustle and the grinding and the play he made on the shorty against Washington, which ended up being the winner for Nugent Hopkins. But Zach Hyman, he's got to get some love because he's been everything we wanted him to be as a free agent pickup, don't you think, Tyler? Zach Hyman, love?
Yeah, I mean, how could you not love it? And the roles he fills as well, right? Like, the Oilers were going to be fine on the power play no matter what, right? Their top six was probably going to be okay as well just because McDavid and Draisaitl. But now you look at it and you have Zach Hyman contributing on the PK, contributing on a third line that's scoring them goals. And he doesn't just like go float around, right? Like, he drives play. And I also think he's a guy where when the games start to matter more, he'll start to elevate his game even more. I think he's a playoff guy, right? And that's part of the reason you brought him in. Like, he's going to make his 5 point whatever million in the regular season. He's going to earn it come playoff time.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. Also, my hot and cold, because Tyler interrupted by going to Taco Bell.
Yes, of course.
Not Taco Bell Cantina. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So mine, because you guys have hit it all, you've covered all the good bases. I'm going to say one thing I want to bring up is our shots against. We've been letting everyone shell us, and that's, you know, and our goaltending isn't the best, so that is not a good recipe. But I'm going to say a positive and a negative is our depth. We got exposed for our depth early on. We got a few injuries, some COVID protocol stuff. We couldn't absorb it, but also we weren't getting any bottom six scoring. Now, a positive to the lineup is our depth all of a sudden.
Yeah,
and that is lines. And that's the Evander Kane effect, in the sense of, look what that pushes, and now all of a sudden, look at our third line. And now our third line's contributing, like, night in, night out. Like, that totally changes the dynamic of the team. And for me, like, that's the thing I'm most excited about so far this season.
Well, when we were in Jasper last weekend, Kevin Bieksa during the intermission was kind of like, well, if you're looking at the third line of Hyman, Nuge, and then that night it was Cassian, that's a second line on a lot of teams, you know? So I agree, the depth, it just changes the whole dynamic when you totally can roll does. Connor and then Leon and then Nuge, and then all of a sudden it's like, well, who do you match up your D against?
Yeah. And if Holloway does, like, everyone's talking, oh, Holloway will be here by the end of February. Like, if that does hold true and he can contribute, well, then that's another big, fast body. Like, that like, it's amazing how this is evolving.
Yep. I'm waiting for this to load, but Holloway's played what, Liam, 5 games in the Baco?
5 games, 1 goal and 4 assists.
Yeah. So he's buzzing. He's buzzing around. So get his confidence. And you're right, Ryan McLeod, like, he's getting his confidence now at the NHL level. Like, you can see it with how he's now like a possession guy. He holds on to the puck. He's not trying to dish it too early, like, a, you know, when you're green in the league. So he's doing all that. So, you know, the scoring's going to continue to come.
Got to give a shit.
I think too, like, you throw Holloway on that third line, right, with Nugent Hyman.
Flip Hyman, is that what you're doing?
Yeah, flip Hyman over, and then you go Derek Ryan in between Fogle and Cassian as your fourth line. Like, it's really easy to see how the scoring depth can
keep getting really, really good. That's a lot of money on the fourth line. That's a lot of money on the fourth line. But yes, that's what's good about having good quality prospects on entry-level deals come in and be able to contribute in your lineup. So, yes, we'll celebrate that.
We'll also celebrate our friends at Cornerstone Insurance, as we do every week. For 90 years and four generations, Cornerstone Insurance has been a family and employee-owned business here in Edmonton. Auto, residential, commercial, life insurance, whatever products you need, they've got it for you. And if you go to cornerstoneins.ca, there's a little button on the left-hand side of the screen that says Citizens of the Nation. You want to click on that.
We just renewed our nation policy with Cornerstone literally like 2 hours ago.
There you go. Cornerstone Insurance. Cornerstoneins.ca. Go check it out. Get yourself a little discount. Citizens of the Nation. Looking ahead at some of the housekeeping we got to get going on here. Tyler, I'm just going to throw to you right away. I had this later on my list, but you just asked Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl questions.
He looked at you as a human and listened to what you had to say and then responded.
Connor said, that's a good question.
I know.
So what was the question, Tyler?
I had a proud father moment.
Yeah, absolutely.
When he said that.
Walk us through it, Tyler. What happened?
Not only
did you have a proud father moment, but my own father had a proud father moment.
Oh, did you post it on TikTok and he saw it?
No, I texted it to him and I said, hey, got a chance to ask Connor a question. And he responded with, very nice.
That's huge.
Yeah, I'll take that answer.
Whoa.
Yeah, I'll take that.
Media day. They have McDavid and Draisaitl come out at the same time and do their avails at the same time.
Dynamic duo.
They were both the 10:45 slot, but they're at different stations, right? So you can't talk to them both at the same time. Luckily, Draisaitl came out first, and he was out there for probably about 5 minutes. And then when McDavid came out, a bunch of the media kind of just went right over to Connor, and that left me and like one other guy standing there with Draisaitl. So we had like a nice little 3-4 minute chat, got his take on some of the All-Star game festivities and the skills competition and all that stuff. Then I asked him for his unsung hero, and he really had to think about it for a while. At first he didn't really understand what my question was. He eventually settled on Nugent Hyman, but he kind of gave the whole, like, you know, there's a lot of guys in that room that are contributing and that kind of thing. And then with McDavid as well, there were so many media people around that I was honestly surprised when there was like, you need like kind of a 2 second pause, right, to kind of pipe up and like get your question in. So there was a 2 second pause and I was like, oh shit, I'm going to get to ask a question here. And that was the first thing.
So how does it walk through that process? Do you butt in or is there like an order? How does that work?
Yeah. Were you throwing bows out there?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's no order. Like, it's literally the players are on that little podium, like you can see from the picture I posted. And then there's like a little roped off area and the media, it's just a free for all. And so it's a little booth, right? And around the little conference room, there was 3, 8, 11 booths. And they were pretty much all always full with guys like rotating in and out. So you just kind of would wander over to a guy and like set up your camera, set up your phone. And if there was a pause, you'd throw a question their way.
So you jump in it's doggy dog. Like because if you don't, yeah, Someone else is.
Yeah, 100%.
Fuck yeah, you're up. Well done.
Yeah. So I was surprised when there was a little bit of a pause and I was like, oh shit, I'm going to get to throw 97 a little question here. So that was nice. Yeah, and he gave me a really good answer about Mikko Koskinen, I think. And he made a good point. Like, as Mikko's kind of gone, that's in a way how the team's gone. Earlier in the year, his numbers weren't amazing and they were outscoring. But as of late, like, if Mikko plays well, they've been getting wins for the most part, right? So I thought that was a really interesting take. And I think it shone some light into how they view Mikko in the room as well. Because, like, when Draisaitl answered the question, he hummed and hawed and he kind of gave some cliches before he got to Nugent Hyman. And McDavid didn't even really think that much. It was just unsung hero, bang, right to Mikko. And I thought that was interesting.
No, he's just being a good leader. He's being a good captain. So he's jumping in front of the bullets for Mikko. Don't kid yourself. He's not overly excited with how good he's playing. Let's be honest. But he's just being a tremendous captain.
Yeah. And I think that's a good point as well. The most awkward moment of the media day, though, was I was standing in front of the Stamkos booth, and Stamkos got up and left, and all the media left. But I was sitting there on my phone posting Instagram stories, and then Jordan Kyrou walks over, and just no one else came over to where Jordan Kyrou was.
Oh, no.
So like the media person's like, all right, we're good to go. And I was just
like, it was just you?
There.
Oh, you should have done like an Instagram live.
I should have. So it was just me for like 3 minutes with Jordan Kyrou. And I was like, so like, you having fun at media day? And he's like, yeah. I'm like, what's like All-Star like for you? And then I asked him a little bit about his season and all that. And then these two guys who just looked like TikTok bros showed up and they like had their hats on backwards and were just wearing t-shirts. And I forget what their website was called, but they were there doing whatever. And they were like, ah, Jordan Kyrou, they had like thick Boston accents. And the first question was something ridiculous. And then the second one was, what teammate wouldn't you want to date your future daughter? I was like, what the fuck?
Did he give an answer?
Yeah, he was like, probably my roommate, Jake Wallman. And these guys follow up. They go, why? Like, what do you think he's going to say? And he was just kind of like, I don't know. He's just kind of a beauty. And like, that was it. It was very weird.
What's on deck? So it's Friday. So the skills competition's coming up a little bit later. What's on deck for you for the rest of the day?
So I'm going to finish up my Taco Bell and see if I got any other.
Oh my God. What was the order, by the way?
What are you doing? You took it home?
Yeah, Taco Bell doesn't travel well.
Jesus. I'm just drinking my Baja Blast.
This is why we need to be there, man. You would have not had any of those hiccups logistically from airport to hotel.
Yep, true.
And you would have gone to Taco Bell Cantina and done it right.
Yeah, it would have been 3 a.m.
And there had already been a visit to Fremont Street.
The only way you bring the Taco Bell Cantina home with you is if it's 3 a.m. and you're carrying it home like a care package.
Yeah, and you ordered two beers and you couldn't finish the first one. And maybe you over-ordered by one taco and you bring both back.
Yeah. You have so much.
My order, by the way, was 3 soft tacos.
Yes, respect.
And then I added chipotle to one of them and I added nacho cheese to the other. I mixed them up a little bit. Anyways, what's on schedule for me for the rest of the day? In 20 minutes, I'm going to go meet up with our pal Scott Burnside and we're going to go to the Gary Bettman press conference.
That one should be interesting.
Are you going to ask him a question?
If I get a chance to, because I don't think I will. I think you have to submit for this. But if I get a chance to ask him anything, it'll either be if the league has any sort of strategy behind how they'll continue to work with gambling now that their deal with MGM is official and kind of what sort of guidelines they feel they need to put out there.
I would ask if they would consider a increased salary cap for teams north of the 53rd parallel.
A hybrid.
And I would ask, have they ever considered Claire Drake Arena for the Arizona Coyotes?
Yeah.
But Ryan Pike texted me and was like, hey, if you get a chance, can you ask them about the Calgary Arena deal?
Of course.
He is the authority on the Calgary Arena deal.
Yeah, so I might ask about that.
I respect that.
But I doubt I will.
Shout out to Ryan Pike at flamesnation.ca. He's writing a book about the arena deal, in fact.
You should ask Gary if they have any inroads on getting an airport in Winnipeg.
Gary, when was the last time you were at Taco Bell Cantina?
Yeah, well, I was to say, Gary, are you a Taco Bell guy or a Taco Bell Cantina guy? Because that'll tell me a lot about your character.
Yeah. How's your craps game, Gary?
Gary, which member of the NHL executive office would you not want to date your future daughter?
Well, that's interesting that and the thing about him having a future daughter.
Yeah.
Good for him. That in itself is interesting to unpack.
Tyler, since we got you here, but your time is running out, we're going to jump into Ask the Idiots for our friends at busterspizza.ca. They've got a location near you. We had our friends in from Canucks Army yesterday, Quads and Faber.
Mm-hmm.
Has some donairs from Busters.
Yes.
How'd it go, Jay?
It went
better than when I ate my donair.
So we didn't have time to go to Busters to get a donair. So we went on to DoorDash and ordered it. And so I go, Quads, what's your donair order? He goes, I'll have a lamb one. I'm like, oh my God. I'm like, dude. So he's like, well, this is how we do it in Vancouver. I'm like, well, you don't have donairs in Vancouver. So there we go. But anyways, donairs arrived, took like 30 minutes, was perfect. So they got a good delivery donair experience. That's always risky for someone's first experience. But they got through it. They enjoyed the sweet sauce. They were blown away by the meat. So all in all, I got them to rate it out of 5 Bruce Boudreaux's. Mm-hmm. So we got a 4.8 out of Fabes. 4.8 Boudreaux's out of 5, and Quads gave it a 4.9.
Oh, high marks for our friends at Buster's Pizza.
Yeah, so blew them away. So it was good. It was good to find it because, like, Quads' first thing, like, before he even said hi to me when he landed, because this is Quads' second time in Edmonton, he goes, I need to have a donair this time. So,
yes,
it delivered.
Makes sense. Ask the idiots.ca. Ask the Idiots for busterspizza.ca. I mean, as always, you guys submitted the questions. The boys haven't heard them yet, so I'm going to ask them for their first take. Tyler, I'm jumping to you. What is your most hated team in the NHL? Example, we know Rick hates the Hurricanes from 2006. So he has to give his second most hated in this case, but he's not here. So we're just going to throw it to Tyler. What is your most hated NHL team?
There's a part of me that really hates the New York Islanders. I just think they're really boring, even when they're good. And in the past, I've always bet against them.
I knew it was something betting related. I fucking knew it.
Like last year, I lost so much money betting on them to lose to the Penguins. And it just seems like every year I'm always like, Islanders are done. There's no way that they're winning a round. And then they go on like these stupid ass runs, like the conference finals or whatever. So I really don't like them. I mean, Calgary's an obvious one. Vancouver's an easy one as well. The Seattle Kraken, I don't like them very much. I think they were too smug and they didn't do their expansion draft right. And they think they're all this hot shit and they ain't.
Nation Dan, coming to you. Most hated NHL team.
My most hated NHL team, the Calgary Flames, I think, is the easy answer, just because every time I've gone to Calgary with the Nation ever, I've always had just a bad experience with that team and that franchise and that city. So they would be probably my most hated. But then my surprise would still be the Dallas Stars. I still have some feelings left over from 97 and 96. Mm-hmm. So yeah, the Dallas Stars, their fan base, I don't know what it is. Anytime a Dallas Star fan blasts me or chirps me, it just makes me angrier than usual. So I think the Dallas Stars is definitely an answer.
And they have that fucking guy with the tan jacket that always stands behind the net banging on the glass. He drives me crazy. Liam, who is your most hated NHL team?
My most hated NHL team is the Anaheim Ducks.
Wow.
And it's
not strictly a Mighty Ducks fan.
I was never around for the Mighty Ducks. I lived in England when Mighty Ducks was a thing. So I'm strictly Anaheim Ducks.
It's still a thing, man. You can still watch it.
Yeah, you can still watch it.
I know.
But I can give you some homework this weekend if you want.
Yeah.
Sure.
D's 1 through 3.
Yep.
3 D's you have to take.
Yep.
And then I'll watch Sandlot right
now. And the TV series.
Only 1 and 2, though. And then anyway, the Anaheim
There's
Ducks.
A Sandlot 2?
I didn't know that.
And a 3.
What?
Really?
Yeah, right, Tyler?
No,
you would know.
There's a lot of Sandlots.
Yeah.
What?
Is there?
I think the third one's when they're all grown up.
I refuse to acknowledge those.
No,
there's 16 Land Before Times.
Yeah, at least the main character is a pro baseball player in the third one, I think. Maybe that's what we'll do this weekend. We'll all watch Sandlot.
Yeah.
Anyway, Anaheim Ducks. I hate them obviously because of when they knocked us out a few years ago. But I also now hate them now because of Trevor Zegras. Not because of anything he did with Anaheim, because I think it's awesome to watch. But because of when he was on the USA team and they beat Canada in the finals. And I just hated the arrogance around him.
Oh,
and
he's good.
That is the reason I dislike the Anaheim Ducks still. And Ryan Kessler. For obvious reasons.
Yeah, definitely. Well, Zegras should be an Oiler, to be honest. Yeah, but that's a topic.
Different conversation.
Yeah.
Jay, most
John
hated.
John Tortorella and Liam hate Trevor Zegras.
Yes.
Yes. Jay, most hated NHL team.
Well, obviously, it's in my DNA to not like the Flames. And it's nice to see that kind of the BOA is kind of getting renewed. It obviously was 2 seasons ago, and it's not, it's back. So it's good that that's back. But for me, it's a deep rooted issue with the Maple Leafs.
Mm-hmm.
And it's more so the fans. It's Eastern media and Toronto Maple Leafs fans. Cause they're the ones that can trigger me. Cause the minute they start talking about, cause it sucks that McDavid's from Ontario. It fucking sucks.
Yep.
So he's a de facto Leafs property in their mind. Right. And they just always come at you with that. I'm just like, you guys are rubbish. Get through the first round. So yeah, no, I like that one triggers me.
I hate the Leafs, hate the Flames, hate the Canucks. I've got a healthy hatred for the Winnipeg Jets right now. And I think that's just a little bit of recency bias, but after the way the last season ended, I've got a problem with the Winnipeg Jets. They don't have an airport. Their curbs are too high. Their cabs don't allow more than 4 people.
Yeah.
And Mitzi's is too far.
Too far.
So you, Winnipeg Jets. Just because everybody else had different answers.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
Second question, Ask the Idiots, for our friends at Buster's Pizza. Jay, would you have interest in bringing Jeff Petrie back since he's reportedly on the block? And what would you pay?
there's a lot of trauma to the fact that we let him go for what we did and when we did. So you always kind of want to have him come back. But that's a lot of salary, and that's a 34-year-old defenseman.
Yep.
So, what would the deal? Okay, would I like him on our blue line? Sure. I think that would be great. What does the deal need to look like? He needs to be back at 50% retained, because I think he has a $6 million plus cap hit.
6.25.
Ooh, that's a big ticket. Yeah.
For 4 years.
For four, exactly. For four more years. So they need to take Miko back. They need to maybe even, and we could give them not a first round pick, a second round pick. I don't know. Like, it's just that's so
send
much term.
Cassian back to Montreal.
I don't know if you can just dump all this. Like, if you're just dumping all that salary, then it's, you know, you're doing you're that and taking the value. Full contract. Yeah, and you're giving a pick. So, just or maybe they take Barry and Koskinen, and you throw in a second. Because at least Barry's under contract for 3 years, so he can stay on the roster and be of some kind of value. I don't know. And I'm not saying that gets the deal done. There's going to be someone that's going to offer way better.
I'll just jump in next. I hadn't seen the contract before I read this question out, so I'm just going to say no. Too much, too old. Yeah. Liam?
I will also say no, too much, too old.
Yeah.
Tyler?
He's really good.
Yeah, of course.
But it's, like you guys said, too much, too old. And does he have trade protection?
Yes, he does.
And I had heard that he really doesn't want to play in Canada anymore. And I think he actually moved his family back down to the States already.
Oh, yeah, he's an American. That's right.
Yeah, I don't think it's like it's not realistic anyways.
He's going to Minnesota.
And yeah, it's not happening.
He's going to
Minnesota. Heard Dallas. Friedman was talking about Dallas on 32 Thoughts, right?
Yeah.
And the idea that they would flip Klingberg for like a first and whatever, and then just take that and flip it and bring Petrie in.
Oh, man, that is a... Why would you want to trade in... I know because Klingberg wants help, but trading him in for help. Petrie, yeah.
Dan?
But you could get more for Klingberg.
No. It checks out.
I think this offseason just kind of decided that we're just not in the... Yeah. We're not in any kind of a deal where the guy's number starts with 4 or above, unless you're swiping money back and forth. And then, like Jay said, we're swiping so much money in that deal with Jeff Petrie that the value you're adding is going to be a substantial number that's going to be a waste of your time anyway. So unfortunately, this offseason, I think, determined that we are just making smaller transactions as we go forward.
Good point, Dan.
Next question, Dan, I'm going to start with you on this one. Should the Oilers consider resting McDavid and or Draisaitl down the stretch like they do in the NBA, seeing as the team is basically playing every other day?
Oh, I mean, you consider it. You always consult with the player, in my opinion, especially when you got superstars like Draisaitl and McDavid. The thing is that those two guys are just hardwired to play the game of hockey. So rare to see a superstar in the NHL want to come out of a game. As you get closer and closer to the playoffs, and depending on what our playoff position is, which we're not in one right now. I don't think it's really something that you're gonna consider seriously unless you've got the playoff spot locked in and you've got your position that you want to be in.
Tyler?
The main difference, like the big guns in the NBA play like well over half the game, right? Like they're not off the floor very much.
Yep.
So it makes more sense to rest those guys. I think you could peel back their minutes a little bit if you have a playoff spot locked up, but I also think we're getting a little bit ahead of ourselves because I know the Oilers are in the eighth playoff spot. So the last spot, if you sort by points percentage, that's not good enough to start talking about maybe resting guys. They still have a lot of work to do.
Well, we've got to create the scenario of if they claw back in, like if they've clinched, you know, a playoff spot and they get home ice in the first round if they're second place, right? That's all.
Yeah. So but even that, like clinching second right now with the amount of games they have left and the ground they have to make up, I just don't think right now.
I'm saying if. Like right now, of course not. Like we got to ride those horses to just try to have a chance to be in the playoffs and stay there. But should they gain traction and should they clinch second, then maybe you entertain it. So it's all circumstantial, but I can't foresee it happening.
Liam?
I don't think it'll happen. I agree with what everyone said, but I also think something to consider is when Holloway comes into the team and if they acquire someone else at the deadline, they're going to want to build up some chemistry between lines and stuff. So if you start taking out some players for a stretch of games, then you get to round one where it's like, okay, well, these guys haven't played with each other. They've only played 15 games or whatever. Like, I think it's important to kind of keep that rolling. Maybe you rest them for the last three games this season.
Yeah, I think that's the most likely is if they're in... Maybe they don't play the last one or two. We see that all the time. Yeah. But like Tyler said, those guys play 20 minutes a night. It's not like they play 40, whatever it is, like NBA players.
I guess something else to consider too is they play San Jose so many times. And like other poor teams, I guess, like you could easily just, like to go off what Tyler said, I think just pull back minutes. Play 15 minutes a night, 18 minutes, whatever it is.
And also like Dan said, those guys don't want to come out.
Yeah.
No. They want the puck on their stick.
Jay, if you're creating an NHL coaching staff using only Oilers players, who are you putting on the staff?
Current Oilers or just any Oiler?
No specifics here, so I'm going to say any Oiler.
Matt Hendricks, 100%, but probably an assistant coach. Head coach, shit. Former Oiler head coach.
This is a tough one to have to bite the bullet on, Jay. We'll give you credit for that.
But, oh, no, that's fine. I think I got a really good assistant coach, let's be honest. I'd probably want Connor McDavid to be the power play coach. I would want, or maybe Wayne Gretzky, I guess, if we're going former Oilers. And then you'd want, who's a defenseman that I love? Like Jeff Bookaboom or something hard-nosed to run the defense. And then head coach for former Oilers. I don't want a superstar. I want like a fringe Oiler that was just like, well, not Smitty. I don't think he's got the upstairs capacity to be head coach. So just because anyone who stands in front of the net and takes pucks off the chicklets, that's a different breed. I love you, Smitty. You're the godfather of the nation. So I shouldn't
save on that one.
Yeah. Big save. Shit. Why is this? Oh, maybe Jason Smith. That's who I want coaching the D. He's our head coach too. I love Gator. Oh,
Tyler, put together a coaching staff for some Oilers here.
I love what Jay has got going here, so I'm going to agree with him. Gator is the head coach. You got Matty Hendricks there as an assistant, and maybe you mix in a little, maybe you like throw in a little Alish Hemsky there. You know, you got Jason Smith, the kind of, you have Jason Smith handling the defense and the head coach and stuff. He's got coaching experience. Hendricks is there to be like the rah-rah guy, help out on the PK, and then you got Hemsky to run the forwards, deal with the star players.
Dan, what you got?
I'm frantically typing up my team here, but it's I'll start with my assistant coach is George Zarok. He's the guy that's just there for morale. He's there to make sure that the team is in the mindset for the game. Goalie coach is Dwayne Rolison. My power play coach is going to be Chris Pronger. I'm bringing back Charlie Huddy on defensive coaching. I liked his systems here when he was here. And of course, he's been in Winnipeg forever. And then my head coach is Adam Oates. I've always dreamt of having an Adam Oates coached team. And so just would like to see him as our head coach.
I want to come in just real quick and just say an 06 McTavish.
Yes, that'd be a good one.
Well, yeah.
But just the 06 McTavish.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Liam, put together a staff for us.
Okay. So I just wrote down four names that just came to my head right away. So my head coach would be Sean Hawkoff. I don't know why. I just kind of envisioned
new assistant
him.
GM of the
Detroit. Yeah, I was thinking that, yeah.
I think
yeah.
It's because I saw him in a suit today, and that's why I visioned it immediately.
Sure.
Sam Gagner.
Oh, I had Sam Gagner on my list too. I like that one.
I like the Hendricks one as the glue guy. I would go with the Professor Ben Scrivens as my goalie coach. And for the defense, just because I couldn't think of anyone else and because I work for the team, I'll take Jeff Wojtka.
So smart friend of the pod.
Friend of the show. My friend, personally.
Wildcat. So
yeah.
I also had Sam Gagner on my coaching staff. I've got friend of the nation, Jason Strudwick, as the ambassador of good vibes.
Oh, yeah. You need Struddy somewhere in the organization.
I've got Dave Manson, who's actually already in the organization with the Condors as the defensive coach.
Great.
Billy Ranford. I've got him as the goalie coach, and then my head coach is Connor McDavid. He's a player coach, kind of like in Slapshot. You don't see it very often, but that's what I want.
I think it's super tough for a guy at his level to coach.
Yeah, I agree. It's just like when Gretzky was the coach of the Coyotes. He's just like, why can't you figure this out?
Yeah. But I that's good. No, everyone had some good ideas there. That was great.
One last question for Ask the Idiots for our friends at Buster's Pizza. We can make this one real quick. Tyler, do you think fans will get behind, like the ones that were questioning the move, the Evander Kane move, do you think they'll get behind him now that he's scoring and contributing on the ice?
I think maybe a small portion of them will, but for the large majority of the fans who opposed the deal to bring in Evander Kane, the reasons they did that had nothing to do with on-ice play. It was all off-ice stuff, so I don't think on-ice play will change their minds there. And with that, guys, I'm going to dip out. It was fun chatting with you. I got to run.
Bye,
see ya.
Tyler. Be safe.
Bye, reporter, man.
Yeah, getting big time again by Tyler.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. Say hi, Taco Bell Cantina at 3 a.m. Yep.
Yes, I better see you. Yeah, exactly. Send us another photo tonight.
See you, boys.
Nation Dan, do you think fans that were a little bit apprehensive will get behind Evander Kane now that he's putting up some points?
No, I don't think so. And you know what? Respect them for it. They stick to their guns. It is what it is. Like Tyler said, you know, it wasn't about on ice performance when they made their initial feelings felt. And I don't think that that's going to change much since.
Liam?
No, I don't think so either.
Jay?
Sorry, it was a question. I looked at my phone. Full disclosure.
Fans that were apprehensive about Evander Kane, do you think that now he's producing a little bit that they'll get on his side?
Yeah, they'll be like what Tyler said. There'll be some will move over to just kind of just focus on that and just focus on kind of who he's being post trade. But they're not going to forget.
Yeah, and I'm with you guys. I think there's some that will be like, okay, well, he's here. Why not cheer for the guy to have some on-ice success? But I think there's also going to be a chunk of people that are just like, no, fuck this guy.
I think if he produces on the ice and doesn't do anything off the ice, it'll go quiet for a while, and then you'll get the odd tweet where someone just reminds everyone will go kind of crazy again, which is good to be reminded of that stuff.
Yeah, of course. Right? So he needs to be poster boy, squeaky clean now to
Yeah, that's the only way I could see him kind of coming around to everyone, I guess.
Absolutely. I agree with that. So with that, I'm just going to press my little randomizer machine, and we're going to pick a winner here for the Buster's Pizza gift card. Spinning. Scott. Scott, congratulations to you. You asked us who's our most hated team in the NHL. I'm going to send you a DM after the podcast is over. You just won yourself a Buster's Pizza gift card. Congratulations. Good for you. Enjoy the foods. Just a couple more housekeeping items before we get to hot and cold performers. The pissy tees. If you ordered one, those are shipping as we speak. That's the reason Rick's not here. He's helping get those out the door. So we are going to have pissy tees donning your carcass very, very soon. You're going to look great. Send us pictures. I want to see it. Also, news that broke yesterday over on Daily Faceoff and on OilersNation.com. Peter Chiarelli interviewing for the GM position in Chicago. Okay. How shallow is the talent pool in this league? It's like there's six guys always that just spin around and around, you know?
Oh, man. It is. It's just like, what is like Chicago is just
a trash.
They've got the biggest shovel and they are just continuing to dig down.
They've got the excavator going on both ends, just digging from both sides of the planet to get them through.
Yeah. They are meeting in the magma hot pools of our core.
Mentioned a little bit earlier, former Oiler captain Sean Horakov just got announced as assistant GM in Detroit. He's going to be taking care of the AHL team as well, so we give a shout out to him.
Sure.
He's been with Detroit a long time now. He was in scouting, he was a director of scouting, and now he's the assistant GM, so good for him.
And he went to Michigan State as well. He's got strong Michigan connections.
Yep. And he must be pretty good at what he does, because Steve Yzerman hires good people. So
he does.
You got to give a shout out to Sean Horakov. The last thing I want to touch on for housekeeping, 10-year anniversary this week of Sam Gagner's 8-point night against the Chicago Blackhawks. One of my favorite memories from that night is not just the game itself, but our boy, friend of the Oilers Nation, Travis Dakin, made a bet that if he got to 8 points on the night, that he would run bare ass naked down his street in Fort McMurray.
In like minus 27.
It was very, very cold. And as a man who follows through on his word, Travis did it. Not only did he do it, the video of him, we tried to find this the other day, by the way, but we couldn't find it. The video of him doing it showed up on CBS Sports the very next day, and I always thought that was very funny.
He tweeted, check out his personal account, he tweeted it out.
Well, see, that's where we found it. Did he actually tweet the video or just the link to CBS?
Oh, it was a link to CBS that didn't have the video.
Yeah, because we went to that link and is now a 404, so they've pulled Travis Dakin's naked ass off of their website. I don't know why. Beautifully sculpted. I want to check in with everybody. Memories on Sam Gagner's 8-point night, if you have some. Shout out to my brother-in-law, by the way, who spent a fortune to get Sam Gagner's gloves from that night in an Oilers auction. Nation Dan, your thoughts on Sam Gagner's 8-point night and just any memories you may have from that evening?
Well, I was living in Halifax, and as we all remember, it was quite a dark time in the Oilers timeline. I know I did live in Halifax for a minute. And so for me, I had a coworker named Eric, and he just, I don't know why, but he hated Sam Gagner. And so for me, it was really hilarious. He just, I don't know. He always thought he was overrated, and he was just mad at him in general. And so when I came in the next morning or the next day, I had a big shit-eating grin on my face. And he was visibly upset about that one. But for me, that was probably the greatest offensive output I've ever seen and will ever see in my lifetime, just because it was such a it's such an incredible feat to achieve when you think that all the guys that he did that with are in the Hall of Fame. Everybody else that has achieved what he did that night are in the Hall of Fame. Sam, unfortunately, probably won't be in the Hall of Fame, but incredible to share that kind of a milestone with those names.
I'm going to share something, even though I probably shouldn't, because this is an audio-only podcast. Dan, I know you can't see us right now, but Jay just left the room in a hurry, and he wrote on his notepad and pointed it over to me. I probably shouldn't say this, but I'm going to say it anyway. He says, "I need to shit myself, so I will be right back." Sometimes you gotta go and you gotta handle the business. He left in a hurry, but he had himself a big salad right before we started recording this, so maybe it got the juices flowing, in a sense, you know.
It's not that he needed to go to the bathroom, it's that he needed to shit himself.
happens to the best of us. Liam, do you have any memories from Sam Gagne's 8-point night?
I was a pretty fresh hockey fan in 2012, and I remember the most about that game is not realizing how well Sam Gagne had been playing. Then it was like, oh, he has 8 points. And I was like, oh, this seems pretty significant. And it was only Wayne Gretzky and Paul Coffey. So my best memory about Sam Gagne is having no idea what was actually happening that night. So
and just like how special it was.
Yeah. And how cool it actually was. And now you look back at it and like reading it now, and it's like, I didn't realize he was only 22.
Yeah.
Yeah. It seems like Sam Gagne has just been 30 years old forever.
Well, that's the weird thing about Sam Gagne too, is like he's been around in this league for so long, but he's still a young guy.
Yeah, yeah. So I lived here in 2007, then went back and then came back. So that was Sam Gagne's draft year. And I remember that draft night, Patrick Kane went 1, Van Riemsdyk went 2. I don't remember the rest, and Gagne was 6, right? Yeah. So then when I came back, Philadelphia and Chicago were in the finals a year before, which was, this draft is great. And then the Oilers got Hall. And then it's kind of random thought right there. But then anyway, Gagne had this big night and he was, I remember him getting drafted. And those are like my only two vivid early memories of being a hockey fan, like Sam Gagne.
My memory from that night is just, I've never seen, obviously you said there's only 3 Oilers that have ever done it before, but I've never seen anything even close to that, where it seemed like everything he did, everywhere he went, the puck was following him around. He could do no wrong with it. He was standing in the net or in front of the net, and he would have a tap-in goal, or he would set up somebody else for a tap-in goal. And it was one of those just weird, special nights. And then the other thing I wanted to mention from that one is we interviewed Sam Gagne a little while ago, shortly after the passing of Joey Moss. And just on his Instagram account the other day on the anniversary, he said, "One of the best memories I have from that night was having a celebratory beer with Joey after the game." Right. And he posted that picture on Instagram and is absolutely wonderful. He got to he told us that story a couple of times on the podcast. So shout out to Sam Gagne, the anniversary of that night. It is a hell of a thing to have on your resume. You know, when you've got a record with Gretzky and Coffey, that's a pretty good day.
Like those two guys. Like, how many great players have played for the Oilers, and Sam Gagne is one of 3 guys to have an 8-point night?
It's pretty amazing.
It's incredible. And the fact that, like, I wonder how close Drysdale and McDavid have ever had. Did McDavid have 5 or 6 points once?
Leon had 6 points against Ottawa last year, I think.
Right. And that was, like, the only time I can remember
Connor
anyone
had 5
getting close.
Against Colorado.
Yeah, Connor's had a couple of 5-point nights, I think, because I remember one he got in his earlier on in his career against the Leafs, a 5-point night. But like, even that is a lot of points.
Yeah,
it's crazy. Tack another 3 on there. This is a hell of a night.
6 points for McDavid against Colorado in 2019.
6 points?
Yeah, November 14th, 2019.
And shout out to Sam Gagne again, just since we were talking about it. He is currently with the Red Wings organization. He's got 4 goals and 11 assists in 47 games played with Detroit. So he is still going, doing his thing.
Almost 1,000 games. 933.
933 games. Shout out to Sam Gagne. Man, what a hell of a career. And like Liam said, he has been 30 for 10 years now.
But when respect. He was drafted, he was 30, I heard.
Pretty much. 32 years old. When's his birthday? August 10th. Oh, he's got the same birthday as my dad. Shout out to him. Crazy. I mean, there's only so many options, you know? There's only 365 options. They just land on the same one as my dad. Love the coincidence. Jay, thoughts? Still shitting? All right. You like that, Liam? Liam's having fun today.
Liam loves cutting to people in the pooper.
All right, it is time to get to hot and cold performers. We'll see how long Mr. Downton needs before he returns. Stretch this plug out a little bit. No pun intended. Liam's having... There you go, Liam. I like making Liam laugh. If you head on over to deucevodka.com, first thing you see is Brett Kissel. Right-hand side of the screen, you see Find in Store. You're going to click that. Follow me along. This is a theater of the mind. You click that one, there's your store locator. Get yourself a bottle of Deuce Vodka for the weekend. No Sunday fun day is complete without it. Have yourself a Caesar. Provided, of course, that you were of legal drinking age. Our friends at Deuce Vodka have something for you. Again, just look at the store locator. If you are in Saskatchewan and you want to find a bottle, reach out to sales@deucevodka.com. Get yourself a bottle. Okay? Good. Good? Good. All right. We've got the buttons ready, we think. Liam is learning. We did a little pre-testing before we got started here. We're going to start off with our veggies, as we always do. Liam, I'll start with you. Your Deuce Vodka cold performer of the week.
Do I press a button first?
You give your take and then push the button.
Then press a button.
Yeah.
Of the week, the power play. And I would say not necessarily just last game, because it was 1-for-1, but just in general, the last few, since they've been winning, it has been...
Oh, that's cold.
Nice. There you go. Dan, we've got a pro here.
Yeah, there you go.
We've got a pro
Tyler,
here.
Tyler, yeah, we're just going to bring you in, Liam, especially for these segments. We're going to kick Tyler out because he forgets to do the button half.
All the time.
It's nonsense.
Well, in real life, we were calling Liam Better Tyler for a long time. So
it's true.
It fits. Oof. Nation Dan, that your works. Deuce Vodka cold performer of the week.
Well, my Deuce Vodka cold performer of the week is going to go to a gentleman who decided to scream at the media while the Oilers game was going on, Mr. Rocky Wirtz.
Yep.
You get my cold performer of the week for the way you handled a question about a thing you definitely knew was going to be asked at this press conference. So, Rocky Wirtz, you're going to get my cold performer of the week.
I'm upset.
Jay, you're a cold performer of the week.
It's myself.
Right. We'll hit a cold performer button there for Jay.
I'm upset.
I'll wrap it up. My Deuce Vodka cold performer of the week is I'm going to tag on to Dan's cold performer, Rocky Wirtz. That was one of the most embarrassing things that I've ever seen. Not only should he have expected that question, I'm sure everyone in the room expected that question to come. He could have done the bare minimum there. And instead, he decided to scorch the earth, make himself look like an asshole, and just completely out of touch with what's going on. Even when somebody wanted to step in and help him with the answer.
Danny Wirtz, yeah.
Cut him off and just kept going. He doubled and tripled down on it, and it was completely ridiculous. So Rocky Wirtz also gets mine. It doesn't make any sense. The Blackhawks should be embarrassed about it, and he should definitely be embarrassed about how he handled that. We don't hear that button very often. Liam's finding buttons that Tyler doesn't ever want to push.
Finding ones that say cold.
That's all you need.
That word.
And we're just going to delay here 1 second. Liam's going to find another cold performer button. Jay Down, back to the podcast. Your Deuce Vodka cold performer of the week.
Duty calls.
Drop a deuce.
Oh, cold performer. Shit, I spent some time to think about that one. What are the ones you guys had?
Dan and I both said Rocky Wirtz.
Oh,
that performance, that town hall was as embarrassing as it gets. Liam said the power play.
Yeah, power play's bad. You know what? It deserves 3 Rocky Wirtz for sure.
Are you thrilled? I'm not.
Absolutely embarrassing. Shocking.
Yeah. No, you can't. Yeah, no, you have to go all in on Rocky there. It was
awful.
Poor judgment.
Flipping the ledger, we're going to end things off on a positive note. So we look at the hot performers of the week. Nation Dan, I'm going to start with you. Your Deuce Vodka hot performer of the week.
Well, I'm all duked out, all decked out in red for Team Canada. And so my Deuce Vodka hot performer of the week is going to go to the Canadian men's national team, who is going to qualify Canada for a World Cup in my lifetime. You tell young Nation Dan, who's out playing soccer indoor and outdoors growing up, that Canada would be in the World Cup, I'd laugh at you and say that this wasn't possible. So for the Canadian men's national soccer team, you're going to get my Deuce Vodka hot performer of the week.
Yeah! Liam, just really quick, run us through that for people that don't understand what's going on with the men's national team.
Yeah, so they haven't qualified since 1982. I don't know the exact number of when. So in North America, you have to qualify through three different rounds to get to the final round to then qualify for the World Cup. I don't know exactly when Canada did it, but they haven't done it in a long time since made it this round. And the fact they haven't lost a game yet against anybody, and they've beaten Mexico twice. Mexico have been like the dominant team in North America for forever. And they beat them twice handedly. And now they're going to probably go to a World Cup. I think they need 2 points from the last four games. And honestly, a shout out to the head coach, John Herdman. Like, the job he's done with both the men and women's team to put them on the map is unbelievable. Like, because you actually watch Canada, and I don't want to sound super negative, they don't have a lot of guys. Like, they have, like, three really good guys, and everyone else is just a good contributor to the team. Like, the goalie is 35 years old and never played better in his life.
And he's such a character.
Yeah, yeah, he plays in the Polish league, which is not a good league for European standards. And what they're doing is unbelievable, to be honest. So there you go.
Woz is devastated right now.
But yeah, how dare you take a shot at the Polish leagues.
And Caroline, my apologies to both
and
of them.
Caroline.
Well, as long as you say Lewandowski deserves the Ballon d'Or, then you've got him back.
Lewandowski deserved the Ballon d'Or.
Liam, coming to you next. Your Deuce Vodka Hot Form of the Week.
Cody Ceci.
Oh,
okay. That's a spicy take.
He had two assists. He hasn't had more than 1 point in a game all season for the Oilers. So there you go. He had two assists the first two goals of the game.
Yeah, against Washington.
He's asserting himself offensively.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, that ended his five-game pointless streak. So there you go. Cody Ceci.
He's a hot guy.
Yes, he is.
He is a handsome guy, isn't he?
Very handsome, incredibly handsome. Jay, your Deuce Vodka Hot Perform of the Week.
Well, I've got two, as per usual. One will be hockey-related. The PK has definitely been a lot better. It was definitely vital in that Washington victory.
Mm-hmm.
I love a good shorthanded GWG.
Love it.
And also because Dan is inspiring me with going Team Canada, the Olympics is upon us.
Yep.
And I am all in on the mixed doubles curling team. They won again today.
Nice. LFG. What a different game that is.
That one's like you have to be in tip top shape to play that one, because like you are always in motion.
Well, and strategically too, like you're thinking about your next three shots. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah. Exhilarating.
The big guy is smoking hot.
Sorry, Liam, that's my fault.
Wrap things up. My Deuce Vodka Hot Performer of the Week is, I got to be on brand, it's my boy Nooch. Since coming back from his injury, the guy is looking hot as a pistol right now.
Mm-hmm.
Couple of goals against Washington, the game winner, empty netter. He had a goal against, a classic Nooch goal against the Montreal Canadiens. Picking up points all over the place. Like I said, against Washington, he had two goals, one assist. So my boy Nooch, he's back. And you know what? We need him to be back. And also, just to add on to my hot performer, the chemistry that he's building with Zach Hyman is awesome to watch. And the little exchange post-game against Washington, I loved it. So, Nooch, shout out to you, buddy.
Yeah. It's getting
hot in here. So hot. There you go. Oilers Nation Radio, episode 178. I want to say thank you to all of our sponsors, DoorDash, Oodle Noodle, Cornerstone Insurance, Deuce Vodka, Buster's Pizza, and most importantly, all of you that are listening to this and welcoming us into your ear holes. I also want to give a shout out to Tyler for going to the wrong hotel in Vegas. I don't even know how that happened.
And wrong carousel.
That actually happened to me very recently when I went to Niagara Falls for a wedding in the summer. We were staying at a Holiday Inn on the lake. So you would expect that to be by Niagara Falls.
Oh, right? That's Niagara on the lake.
Been to Niagara yet.
So we went and we got there. It was like 11 o'clock at night, just drove from Toronto and went to check in. And like, no, you're staying at the other Holiday Inn, which is like 15 minutes away. So we went there and it was the only thing in sight was a Purolator. There was no lake anywhere to be found, and that is my story of getting the wrong hotel.
I will also give a bonus Hot Performer of the Week to Tyler Yaremchuk for Tyler Tries in Jasper last weekend.
Yes.
The mussels were delicious.
And paired with a delicious cap salve.
Oh, Tyler is a red wine fan now for life.
Yes.
We built a taste for it with him. So shout out to Tyler and shout out to all of you for listening to this. This one run a little bit long, but that's what happens when Liam produces this. We get to go a little bit longer. So I want to say thank you for joining us this week. Shout out to the sponsors. Please leave us reviews. Please keep checking in. Please keep sending me Ask the Idiots questions. That's a wrap. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Shout out.
Thanks for listening to Oilers Nation Radio, delivered by DoorDash. Don't forget to hit the subscribe button and give us a follow on Twitter and Instagram.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.